How many have ever heard of Palm Sunday before? Okay. Some people haven't. And so what is Palm Sunday? Why do we call it Palm Sunday? That seems like a weird name for a day of the week. And it is the first day of Holy Week. You guys heard of Holy Week before? Okay, Holy Week, for a long time, this has been called Holy Week. And it starts with Palm Sunday today. And then it goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Wednesday night in our small group, we went through all the days and what happened on each day. If you've never done that before, that's kind of a trip. Wasn't that interesting? All these things that you're familiar with, if you've read the scriptures before, and you go, wait, I didn't know that happened on that day. I didn't know that happened on that. So Monday, has anyone ever heard of one of the most famous things that Jesus did and things that people like to talk about? I kind of was vented a little bit on Wednesday night. Jesus only did this one time, possibly two, but really one time that we know of. He did something, and people that have a personality that like to be confrontive use this verse all the time. Well, Jesus turned over tables. You can laugh at that. It's just me being me. And so that happened on Monday. So Sunday, Jesus shows up to Jerusalem. And do you know what he rode into Jerusalem on? A donkey, a colt. Yep. Yep. And so he came into Jerusalem on a donkey, and some stuff happened. And then Monday, he went to the temple, cleansed the temple, had all that speeches and stuff. And also Monday, more than likely, I mean, some of this is a little subjective because we don't know, but most of the theologians think on Monday was also cursing the fig tree. What happened to the fig tree? Jesus went to the fig tree and looked for figs. There was no figs. So what did Jesus do to the fig tree? And what happened? Yeah, shriveled up. Jesus essentially said on Monday, when I go looking for fruit, I expect to find fruit. Just let that kind of settle in. And he's not just talking about fig trees. So that was on Monday. Tuesday was a whole ton of parables. Parable of the vineyards, the two sons. I forget all of them. So there's all kinds of teaching on Tuesdays and parables. And and then four traps. The Pharisees set four traps for Jesus. And I forget what all those are. You know, who's... give, what Jesus ended up saying, give to God, give to Caesar. You know, should you pay the temple tax or not? And so that happened on Tuesday. Whose authority are you doing these things? So anyways, they're trying to trap Jesus. Four of those. That all happened on Tuesday after he rode in on the donkey. And then Wednesday, they call it, some people call it Spy Wednesday of Holy Week. I've never heard that before. But that's when Judas agreed to betray Jesus. That happened on Wednesday. Thursday was the Last Supper. It was the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was when Jesus was betrayed. And Friday, he was crucified. He was in the tomb. Saturday, preaching to the captives. And then Sunday, he rose. And so next Sunday, we'll talk about resurrection, right? But today, we're talking about Palm Sunday, when he rode in on a donkey. We're actually going to read those verses. And so it says this in John 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival, there was a festival that was happening, multiple festivals. They heard, the crowd that heard that came for the festival, they heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches. Oh, I was going to grab one. They're all gone. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna. Say Hosanna. Saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Powerful statements, prophetic statements. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written. Anytime in the New Testament where you see as it is written, hold on, that's from the Old Testament. So that's a prophecy being fulfilled. Someone wrote that hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and now Jesus is fulfilling that right now. So they're out there waving their palm branches, waving branches, laying branches down, laying their cloaks down, and they had their cloaks on the donkey, right? So this seems like an odd thing to me. The whole lifetime, I thought this was odd. Like, why are they doing this? What do palm branches have to do with Jesus riding in on a donkey? And it seemed out of place for me. Sorry, I didn't break it, so that's good. Oh, it's Callie's. Did you know that Judea, kind of that area, was conquered by Alexander the Great in the year 332 BC? Did you know that? Ever heard of raise your hand if you've heard of Alexander the Great before. So he was a Greek, the Greeks conquered that area, so 332 years before Jesus was born. They ruled over Judea in that area for a number of years, and they had after Alexander the Great, Trent's like, go ahead, say it. He's a history teacher. He's like, you are going to be so wrong. If I'm wrong, just don't say anything. Okay? So Alexander, his reign in the Ptolemaic reign, right? And then I can't remember it, so I'd say sell your kids. It's probably like Seleucids or something like that. That reign was the final reign. And the Ptolemaic reign was they were good rulers and nice. They were nice rulers. The sell your kids, it's not sell your kids, Seleucids or whatever it's called. That reign was really evil, and they were really mean. And the Jews that were living there were really getting pounded. And the final straw for them really getting pounded was that the sell your kids leader set up, he butchered a pig, and I don't know if you know anything about the Hebrews, about the Jews. Pigs are the most unclean animal, right? And it's just like, pigs are evil, right? And if you've ever worked with pigs, you'd probably agree with that. But in their religion, right, in the Jewish religion, you know, pigs are no bueno. And so the Greek emperor butchered, offered sacrifice, that's the word I'm looking for, sacrificed a pig on the altar of the temple of God, which would, like, you, there's, like if you could give a better middle finger to the Jews, then, like, there's no better way to desecrate, and like tearing it down would be way less offensive. Like, just burning it, that wouldn't be offensive. Putting a, like, pig blood on it, that was the most defiling thing you could do. And they're like, all right, and then on top of that, then they set up an altar, statue or altar to Zeus in the temple. And the Jews had already been getting pounded out. They'd been under Greek rule for a long time. And in the year 164 BC, 164 BC, a guy by the name of Judas Maccabees said, all right, enough's enough, and I've had enough, Popeye said. Judas said, we're going to lead a rebellion here. And they led a revolt, and they captured the temple back, and they cleansed the temple. And has anyone ever heard of Hanukkah? That is what Hanukkah is celebrating. That's the celebration. They're celebrating the night of freedom when Israel got their temple back from the Greeks. And now you know why a lot of the New Testament was written in Greek, because the Greeks conquered that area. By the time Rome got there, they spoke Latin, right? But the New Testament ended up getting written. So there's your history lesson for today. I'm not nearly as riveting as Trent is when he teaches it, but, you know, you do what you can. So, wait, I missed the whole point of the history lesson. You ever do that? You get through the whole lesson and you got one nugget that's the whole point of the thing and you forget about it. Stop. Everyone go, stop. That was not very energetic. Say, stop. Okay, now I got your attention. You want to know what happened? So this tension rises. They set up, they kill the pig. They set up the statue of Zeus. Judas Maccabees says, enough! We're going to take this place back. They lead this revolt. They capture the temple. Israel now controls the temple again. We've got our nation back. And you want to know what they did to celebrate? The rebellion? Palm branches. That's how they celebrated. They waved palm branches that Israel was taken back from the evil rulers 164 years before Jesus was born. Do you think for a second that not one of the Israelites knew exactly what they were saying when Jesus is riding in on a donkey and they're under Roman rule and they can't really worship how they want to and have the freedom and have their nation? And Jesus comes riding in and they're saying, "Blessed is the King of Israel," waving palm branches. What do you think they're saying? They're like, "Come and save us. You're going to lead a revolt. Another revolt's happening. We're going to get our freedom." That puts a little context to it when you see how disappointed the disciples were that Jesus didn't come. "When are you bringing your kingdom? When is your kingdom coming?" Right? That's what the palm branches says, represented. That's the word I'm looking for. How about this? We did this on Wednesday night. If you're here on Wednesday night, you cannot answer these. I could not resist. This was so fun. And how much do you know about Holy Week? Okay, get ready to answer questions. And you don't have to be sad about wrong answers. That's okay. You can be wrong. Today's a great day to be wrong. That's all right. We'll give you the right answer. Who prophesied that the Messiah would ride in on a colt? We read it just two slides ago. We read it. Was it Malachi? Was it Isaiah or Zechariah? Isaiah, Malachi, or Zechariah? The right answer is Zechariah. Most of Wednesday night said Isaiah. Yep. Most of the crew around the table, they're like, "Nah, it has to be Isaiah." How about this one? Which biblical feast did not occur during Holy Week? That means three of these did occur during Holy Week. Well, as Jesus is riding in on the donkey, remember we read that the crowd that was there for the festival? Well, there was three festivals going on. Which one was not going on? Pentecost, Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Feast of First Fruits? Which one was not going on? Which one was not going on? The answer is Pentecost. Pentecost didn't come till a little bit later, but the other three were happening. When Jesus rode in on the donkey, the feasts were beginning. How about this one? Which disciple did Jesus rebuke and say, "Get behind me, Satan"? Was it John, Peter, or Judas? Peter. It was Peter. Who buried Jesus? Was it Peter and John? Was it Mary and Martha? Or was it Joseph and Nicodemus? You guys are too smart for this. It was Joseph and Nicodemus, yes. Yep. And last one. Which disciple made it to the tomb first? One of the funniest verses in the Bible, I think. Which disciple made it to the tomb first? Peter, Andrew, John, or James? The answer is John. The answer is John. Here's the funny part. We have a book in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by John. And in the book, he calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. You kidding me? There was 12 disciples. And John's label for John in the book that he wrote, which he gets to be the author of, he wrote, "And then the disciple that Jesus loved." And you want to know what else John wrote? John wrote that the disciple that Jesus loved and Peter were going to the tomb, and the disciple that Jesus loved beat the other disciple there. What a flex. I guess if you get to write your own gospel, you get to be proud that you made it to the tomb first. I'm like, what a guy. You want to talk about real life? The Bible records these real life humanness. It's inspired. It's the word of God, but it captures the humanity. And he's writing that going, "Dude, I beat Peter." Right? And so I love that records that. So this is going to be a little weird, but hang with me. We're going to go really fast, and then at the end, we'll bring it together, and you'll make sense out of these. We're going to talk about the people of Palm Sunday. There's all kinds of different people of Palm Sunday, and we're going to run through each and every one of them, and they all represent people that were there, yes, literally, but people that are in our lives today, or you are going to fall into one of these categories today. You are one of these people. Okay, so you get to be introspective today and say, which one of these am I? And then most of the people that you meet in your life fall into one of these categories. So there'll be the title of the people, who they are, and then the verse that tells about it. So that we'll do that for 9 of these, right? Are you with me for 9 of these? We can do this. We can do anything for 9 of these. That's no problem. It's easy peasy. So there was the crowd of Jews. They were Jews, okay? Crowd of Jews that heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead, okay? They heard through the grapevine that this miracle had happened, okay? Here we go. John 12, 9. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also what? To see Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. They weren't there, but they heard that Lazarus got raised from the dead. So they wanted to go check it out. John 12, 18. Many people, because they heard that he had performed this sign, which sign? Raising Lazarus from the dead, went out to meet him. So you got a group of people, group of not just people, a group of Jews, okay? That's important. A group of Jews that heard that Lazarus got raised from the dead and they wanted to go out and check out the story for themselves. They wanted to see Jesus and they wanted to see Lazarus. If you heard today that someone got raised from the dead, you would be very interested. We have a number of those stories from overseas, you know, that we talk about often. People that we know that have either raised someone from the dead or, you know, doctor verified stuff. That's pretty incredible. All right, next group of people, the crowd of people that saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They were actually there. There's a group of people that was there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and called him out of the tomb. Here we go. Here's the verse. John 12, 17. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Right? Now this is in Holy Week. All these people are there during Holy Week. They're there in that section of time. And actually, they're there on Palm Sunday. These are actually all Palm Sunday people. There's a crowd that was in Jerusalem for the festival. We kind of already read that verse, but there was a group of people that was just in Jerusalem for Pentecost. John 12, 12, the next day, the crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. You still with me? Everyone still awake? Okay, if your neighbor is sleeping, nudge him really hard. There were Greeks that went to worship at the festival. Now, hold on a second. You heard me tell the story. Well, actually, we'll talk about that later. Greeks that went to worship at the festival. John 12, 20 and 21 says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. All right, so Greeks that were in town for the festival. How about this one? Still with me? The rest of the people that lived in the city. We've talked to numbers of people over the years. We used to go to Wilmer for Sunshine Festival. You know, 15,000 people would come into town. We've been on our trips around we're always trying to find some big festival or something that's going on. And in that town, there's always some people that the town is famous for something, and they just live there, right? They're like, yeah, this thing goes on, you know, twice a year. Whatever. Like, we just try to live our lives. We always end up having conversations with people like that. So the rest of the people that just lived in Jerusalem, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Remember we talked about the crowds? Well, the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Okay? Next group, my favorite group in the whole story. Ready? Some people. I'm telling you. Mark 11, 4 through 6. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus told them to, and the people let them go. So in the story of Palm Sunday, there's some people. We'll come back to all these. We'll explain these. There's the Pharisees and the chief priests. Okay? Luke 19, 39 through 40 says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Such a powerful verse. More Pharisees and the chief priests. The chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. My dad asked me on Wednesday night, he's like, or he just made the comment. He's like, well, they were going to kill Lazarus too. And somehow this never stuck in my head. I've read this hundreds and hundreds of times, I'm sure, over the years. And somehow that just never lodged. I said, really? So after church, he sent me the verse. I'm like, Yeah, when I read the verse, I remembered reading it before, but somehow just, you know, you read things and it just doesn't stick in your head. So for some reason, just, I don't know what that has to do with anything, that I just didn't remember that. So the chief priests, though, they were going to kill Lazarus. All right, these chief priests and Pharisees were pretty jealous people. John 12:18, many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, okay, raising Lazarus from the dead, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, that part is not recorded in there, but I have a feeling that that's what they felt like. This is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Couple more, two more. I think two more. People who just don't get it. People who just don't get it. Jesus is in one of the saddest verses in the scripture. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. And now it's hidden from your eyes. And I just want to say, you're surrounded by a bunch of people that just don't know. And if they only knew what would bring them peace, you're running after everything in the world. But if you knew what would bring you peace. And the last one is the disciples. Luke 19:37-38, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest, right? Plucked right out of the Psalms there. They're just declaring praises to God. All right, so there they are. The people of Palm Sunday. You are right now in one of these groups. You're part of one of these groups. I'm going to run through real quick and explain what does this mean for today? What is the story? Because everything in the scripture has an application for that moment, right? It has an audience, it has a writer of the scripture and an audience that it's intended for. But also, everything in the scriptures is also somehow applicable to our life today. So we're going to pluck out these people real fast here from the Palm Sunday story and find out, which one are you today? And who are you interacting with this week? And which one is your family? And How do I handle that? How do I walk through that? So, first one, we're talking about the Jews that heard about a miracle. The Jews are the insiders, right? In that moment and as well today. The Jews were the people of God, right? They were the ones that had the Ten Commandments. Paul says later in his writing, us Jews, we've got the patriarchs, we've got the promises, we've got the commandments. It's to us that God appeared. We were the nation that was plucked out of the earth and singled out to be special. That was us, right? And yet they're there and they heard about a miracle. And so I just wrote that they go to church. So not back then, but today, who is this group today? This group today, you go to church, man. You know how to do the stuff. Like, you've been there. Like, you know what days you're supposed to do that. You know when you're supposed to stand up. You know, like, you probably even help plan out stuff. You're on the inside, right? The Jews were the insiders. And there's some of us, maybe none of us here today, but maybe, you're on the inside. But do you know, the Jews at that time, they were insiders, but they were still separated from God because Jesus hadn't come and fulfilled that yet. And so there was a stumbling block for them that, wait a minute, we're on the inside track. We're near God. God loves us. What do we need Jesus for, right? And I have to tell you, in South Dakota, in 2026, there's a large group of people that go to church and they're on the inside track and they look churchy and they do the church things. And often we will have over the last 30 years, hundreds of conversations of this group of people who've been on the inside. They know all the stuff. And then one day they go, but Jesus. And they bow their knee and they, I need you. Wait a minute. I've been to church my whole life. I know how to do the stuff. I know which page to turn in. And they have a moment where they go, that's not what it's about. That's a great expression of it, but it's about my heart and Jesus as Lord. And we've heard those stories over and over and over and over and over. I went to church all the time. I didn't know that I needed Jesus as Lord of my life, that it was my heart, not all of our, my heart needed to talk to Jesus and surrender my heart to Jesus to be Lord. And so they're on the inside track, but they can still be far from God. So that was that group. How about the next group? People that saw a miracle. All right. We don't know where these people are at with God. They're very interested in God things because they seem cool. But the question is, will they actually become disciples? Hopefully, yes. You know, they need people to show them the way to surrender to Jesus. You know, there can be a lot of exciting things happen. We see at conferences all the time. We've been taking kids to youth conferences all the time. Man, you see some awesome things there, and you get really excited. We've seen adults get super excited about God stuff. And you're going, okay, well, there should be a change in our life then. Are you being formed? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you? No, but I'm really excited about this one thing that's going on. Let me tell you about this prophecy, about something in the Bible I heard. Okay, I'm on board with that. You're really excited about that. Is Jesus changing your life? Are you walking with him? And that's the question mark. I don't know. So that's the question mark today. Is are we just being excited about God's stuff? Are we actually surrendered? If you haven't noticed by now, every one of these is going to come down to are we surrendered to the Lord? Right? Are we really serving Jesus? Are we walking with the Lord? But here's where we're starting. These are people that are excited about a miracle, at least. Okay, I want to see more of that, and that's good. Miracles are good. They're scriptural. How about the next group? People that are in town for the festival. This group is an interesting group because they're in town for the festival. They're going to church on Christmas and Easter. And I'm not being critical. I'm not picking on people. I'm just trying to say they're in town for the festival. Now, they're doing God things. They might be legit, right? They're already doing God things. Some are truly seeking after the Lord, but some are just there because they're supposed to be. And in any church, in any town, anywhere, you're going to have a group of people that are in church because my wife told me to be here, right? Or you're in church, like, and I come all the time. And I had one of the most refreshing conversations that I ever had was about 4 years ago. And it was someone that came to church somewhat regularly. And we were kind of talking about God things. And he was very super polite. And I didn't know him real well, but he just kind of put his hand on my shoulder. And I was pretty excited about what God was doing, and these new people were coming, and these people were getting saved. And he just kind of stopped me, and he just did this. I'll do it to Shelly. He just said, that's all good. I'm just here because my wife wants me to be here. And I said, thank you. I said, thank you for at least being honest. He's like, I don't really care about any of this stuff. And he didn't. But I said, well, thank you for coming. Thank you, because I knew that maybe there's going to be a seed that gets into his heart. And he didn't have any pretense. He's like, this isn't my deal. But she wants me to be here, so I'm here. And he wasn't mad. He wasn't mean. He was very kind, but he was honest. Some of those might be here this morning, and I don't know that. Or you might be passionate about the Lord, and you're doing the God stuff, and you're there for the festival. So that's kind of a big question mark on that one. Here's an interesting one. Greeks that came to worship at the festival. These are the outsiders. And I don't know if you know this. Hey, stop reading that for a second. Look at me. Hold on. Look at me. Look over here. Look at me. We'll read that again. So just look at me for a second. Did you know that in the old temple, right? And that Jesus, well, we are the temple now because of the sacrifice of Jesus. But in the old temple, you could only, if you were not a Jew, you could only go so far. And then if you were a Jew, you had to be cleansed and whatever. Then you could go a little further. And then only one guy once a year could go into the Holy of Holies, they called it, the inner room. But there was, you were sectioned off. You had to be in the outer court. You were an outsider by every sense of the word, right? You weren't Jewish by nationality, and you could not come in. You couldn't come close to the Lord. So I find this statement fascinating. There are Greeks that came to worship at the festival. Now, think about to Judas Maccabees. Who did they revolt against? Greeks, right? Think about that. Think about, a little tension maybe, and we beat you guys. And they'd just be like, Romans beat you again, right, whatever. But there would have been some natural tension between the Greeks and the Jews because they ruled the Jews for a while. But yet, these Greeks came to worship at the festival. They're outsiders, but their hearts are hungry for God. But they're not the kind of people that you would think are interested in God, or they're not very churchy. You with me? You guys know the people that I'm talking about. You're like, I'll have those conversations, and I'll be like, wait, what? And then be like, I just want to know about, like, is there really a God? Is there, like, and if there is, I want to know him. And I'm like, dude, you got piercings and tattoos, and you're cussing like a sailor. And like, what are, like, you know, you doped up, and but their hearts are hungry. They're outsiders. They're not who you think would be in church, but they're hungry for the Lord. And they don't know how to process that. And I just want to say those are some of my favorite people. They're still not my favorite group. Some people are still my favorite group, but because God's drawing their hearts. And they're going, you know what? Even if I'm an outsider, I'm gonna find a way in. Because I know that whatever's in here it's not cutting it. It's not doing it. I need to, whatever you call it, be saved or whatever you guys talk about it. Whatever that is, I need God. I need God. That's the Greeks that came to the festival. Everyone you run into in your life is in one of these groups. And everyone needs Jesus. And everyone views Jesus differently. And everyone we can interact with differently, but we always have one goal in mind. Am I representing Jesus to them well? And every one of you today are in one of these groups. And I'm going to tell you which group you need to be in, but I'll give you some grace wherever you're at, and we'll help you get there. How about this? The rest of the city that just happens to live there. They don't know what all the fuss is about, but with your intervention and conversation, God just might grab their heart. They're not in Jerusalem for the festival. They don't care who Jesus is. You know people like that in life? Like, they don't care about your church. They don't care about your dumb God songs or whatever. They don't care what. They're not mean. They just don't care. They're just trying to live their life. But I promise you, if you develop a relationship with them, take them out for lunch, be a good neighbor, when good turns to bad, they're going to know where to go because you've invested in their life. You're not trying to be manipulative. You're just trying to be salt and light. You're just trying to give them some breadcrumbs to know where to turn when the bottom falls out or when they actually want to ask the hard questions. You can say, I don't know if I have all the answers for you, but we can sure talk about it. And I don't know, we'll go to church and talk to Kirk about it because, you know, maybe he'll just Google something. I don't know. But let's have that conversation. But let's just care about people, okay? So there's a lot of people that are just planted in your life. They're just there. They're just trying to do their thing. They don't know about Passover going on or this Jesus guy or whatever. They're just doing their stuff. And you happen to be the person that God's put right in their path. How cool is that? It's cool. I don't care if you're grumbling about it. It's cool. Next one. Some people, my favorite group. Listen to this. We don't know their name. They're not famous. They were just being faithful, serving God, feeding the donkeys. And they became a key part of the most important event and story in history. I love the some peoples. I love the some peoples. And Elijah, the man of God, fought the prophets of Baal, right? Called down fire from heaven. And now he's pouting and he's hiding and he's running away from Jezebel and he's hiding in a cave. And Lord's like, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, I'm the only one. I'm so awesome, but I'm the only one. And God's like, there's some people out there. God said, stand up, man. There's some people out there. In fact, there's 7,000 of them. You don't know their names, but they haven't kissed Baal and they haven't bowed their knee to him. There's some people out there. There's some people. And I have loved meeting some people over the years. I've been at Christian concerts. I've been at festivals. I've been at conferences. I've been at things that had nothing to do with church. And I meet some people. And no one knows their name. and they're doing stuff behind the scenes, and they're serving the Lord faithfully, and they're impacting lives. And I've said this out loud to them, to some people before. I've said, how does nobody know about this? I've said that multiple times. What? Can I share that? Don't say our names though. Shut up. You are impacting lives by the hundreds and dozens and thousands sometimes. How does people not know this? I want to go back and tell my church this. You're serving and no one even knows what you're doing, and just day in and day out, and you're just giving money here, and you talked 5 people out of suicide this week, and you just do that every week, and you're just there. Some people, that's what they do. I just want it. And God knows exactly who they are. The heroes of the story are some people. Right? They're the heroes. They're the ones that are bringing the kingdom of God. These guys, you know what great thing they did for the Lord this day? They got up, they spent time with the Lord, gave grace, and they went out and they fed the donkey. And then they came back. And that was so powerful that they were included in the scriptures. In the Bible story, some people. Don't worry if you're not famous. Don't worry if no one knows your name. Don't worry if nobody sees. God sees. Amen? God sees. You don't need to be Facebook famous. You need to be famous in heaven. Right? And God knows who needs to be famous in heaven. Some people are famous in heaven. God knows their name. I just can't wait to get to heaven and be like, okay, I want to see all the dudes, but tell me about some people. Tell me about some people. Who are they? What's their names? Where are they at? Where's their house? Let me see. The Pharisees and the chief priests, we're just about done here. There's always going to be those people that claim to know God, but they walk in a spirit of arrogance and of pride and of dead religion. There's always going to be people waiting to tear down any good new thing of God that's coming up. There's always going to be people that feel they have such a corner on the market that they're not teachable. They don't want to be teachable. And they definitely have something to tell you about why you're wrong and why you're not doing it right. And we're all about, men's yesterday was all about correction. Someone said, I'm getting spanked to this point. Like, we're all about that. That's good. We want that. But these guys have all, you think you're doing it good enough? You're not doing it. You're pathetic. You'll never do it good enough. You'll never do it as good as us. Okay. Just walk in arrogance. And they're not open to what God has for them and for the people around them. Try to stay away from those guys if you can. If you're one of those guys, don't be one of those guys. The people who just don't get it, we kind of already talked about them. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Blinded the minds of unbelievers. They don't get it. He's blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Have you ever been praying for someone? We talked about that actually yesterday. You ever been praying for someone and you're like, why don't they get it? Like, they just, man, if they would just give their life to Jesus, they would just, like, but they just don't, like, it just goes over their head. They just, it doesn't matter how I say it. It doesn't matter how I tell them. They just don't get it. And Satan has blinded their minds. We keep praying for them, right? And you know what Jesus did? He wept over them. Hold on. Just about done. Jesus sat on a donkey overlooking Jerusalem. He said, if only you had known what would bring you peace. And he wept. God, may we weep. May we weep over those that we're frustrated with, that just don't get it. May we weep. Give us a spirit of tenderness that we would weep over them just as Jesus did. Right? Now we would pray for them. And then we'd keep being salt and light in their life. Last one, the disciples. The disciples, they're the ones that are being formed, right? They're the ones that are following Jesus. They're the ones that are imperfect, but they're getting up every day and we're going to do better today than we did yesterday. They have flaws and they bring them to Jesus every time. And they're like, all right, Jesus, what are we fixing today? There's about 16 things. Where do you want to start, right? They're coming to the Lord. They're opening their hearts. And they're like, Jesus, all of this. Just stamp it mine, right? Just be Lord over all this junk, right? Just help, right? God, help. That's who you want to be. That's who you want. You want to be a disciple, right? You want to be a follower of Jesus. Okay, we're done. That's it. That's all that there is. Next screen's blank, right? Which group are you in today? We want to see you move into the disciples group. And hopefully you'll get to be a some people too. But every some people is a disciple, right? We want to see us be disciples of Jesus, following the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving Jesus every day, failing, but failing upwards, right? Right? We're not trying to fail. We're trying to walk in perfection. And that just doesn't happen until Jesus comes back. So be a disciple and just really challenge your heart today. Wow, and where am I at? Do I have a vibrant relationship with the Lord? If you're not walking with Jesus today, it's really simple. It's really simple. It's really difficult, but it's simple. It's difficult because you walk it out every day the rest of your life. Every day we pray a prayer like this. Every day we go, all right, here I am today, Jesus. And it's just surrendering our heart to Jesus, asking him to be the Lord of our life, admitting we're a sinner. And so a prayer would just look like this. And it's a prayer that I pray often. God, I've fallen short again. I've sinned. Wash my sin away. Thank you that Jesus came and died on the cross. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he was buried in the grave and that he rose on the third day. And I ask right now, Jesus, you would be the Lord of my life. Take all of this and make it into something amazing. Thank you that you love me. Cleanse me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a prayer like that, where it's not the special prayer, it's not getting the words in the right order. It's the heart that says, I want you to be the boss of my life. Right? Jesus, take the wheel. Right? You drive. You direct my life. And it's placing all of my trust, all of my weight, leaning on Jesus to get me to heaven, not what I'm doing. And yet, still being teachable for the Lord to correct me and guide my life. That's what makes me a disciple. The part that makes me a disciple is my willing heart to follow up on what Jesus has already done for me. It's to follow through with it. It's his faithfulness in me working out. It's all him, but it's me agreeing with that and then doing the stuff. Amen? Thanks for staying with me today on a whole pile of people that were there on Palm Sunday, the people of Palm Sunday. Let's pray. God, I just pray for this group of people today. God, I pray that we all would end up in the disciple group. Lord, and I thank you that you've got a powerful group of some peoples here today, Lord, that are bringing kingdom things without anyone else even knowing, God, that are being faithful to you. Lord, and I pray for anyone that needs prayer today, that feels far from you, I pray that they would know that you are so close, Jesus, as close as our next breath. And Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us, give us an amazing Holy Week, help us to be salt and light to everyone around us, knowing that everyone's in one of these groups, and being the best representation of heaven on earth in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.